Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, September 2nd, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Malaria deaths are on the rise in Zimbabwe as gains made in eliminating the infectious disease continue to be eroded by a new drug-resistant strain and lack of funds to sustain disease monitoring and control efforts, among other issues.
The Southern African Development Community sends a diplomatic mission and some military personnel to protect Lesotho Prime Minister Thomas Thabane, who had fled the Mountain Kingdom on Saturday after an alleged coup attempt by the military.
Well, that was a blatant lie. What they told you was a blatant lie, and I condemn it in strongest terms. It was an attempted coup, and fortunately, it failed. It was an attempted coup. I want to emphasize that.
And a constitutional application in which the Election Resource Center is seeking to test the constitutionality of Section 40 of the Electoral Act will be heard in the Constitutional Court tomorrow.
The Southern African Development Community has sent a diplomatic mission and some military personnel to protect Lesotho Prime Minister Thomas Thabane, who had fled the mountainous kingdom Saturday after an alleged coup attempt by the military. Mr. Thabane is reportedly expected back in Maseru today, now that the army implicated in the coup attempt has guaranteed his safety following mediation by South Africa, Namibia and Zimbabwe, currently chairing the regional body. However, the situation in the country of about 2 million people remains fluid. South African President Jacob Zuma, who chairs the SADC organ on politics, defense and security, reportedly met with Prime Minister Thabane, Deputy Prime Minister Motejo Metsing, and Morena TJ Mesebriane, Minister of Gender and Youth, Sports and Recreation in Pretoria, South Africa, last night.
The SADC Executive Secretary Stergomena Lawrence Tax also attended the meeting. A statement released by Zuma today read, "The chairperson of the organ welcomed the joint commitment of the leaders of the coalition government and pledged to render the SADC Troika full support with a view to speedily restore the stability and security in the country." In addition, SADC agreed to send a SADC facilitator to the Kingdom of Lesotho to work with the coalition government as they implement the agreed roadmap. SADC further agreed to deploy an observer team on politics, defense and security as a matter of urgency. Thabane's All Basotho Convention Party and Metsing's Lesotho Congress for Democracy formed a coalition with a third party after 2012 elections, and since then conflict has simmered. Mr. Thabane is alleged to have worsened the situation after suspending parliament since June, when he allegedly dodged a vote of no confidence. The Prime Minister's spokesperson, Thabo Takalekolela, tells Blessing Zulu of VOA Zimbabwe service that there was a coup attempt on Thabane despite reports to the contrary. He says the situation remains tense.
What is happening in Maseru is that the situation is calm but very tense. The police stations around the Maseru city and its outskirts are still not functioning, because you remember the police confiscated all weapons from the police, and they drove the army confiscated weapons from the police, and they drove the police out of the police station. Now the police stations are not functioning, the courts of law are not functioning. The National University of Lesotho was closed this morning, and several other high schools were also closed. Now, coming to your question of whether the Prime Minister is coming back into the country, yes.
Is his safety guaranteed?
His safety is guaranteed because he's coming with some SADC officials, military officials and police officials.
Would you say this was an attempted coup? Because we spoke earlier on to army officials who are saying there was no coup.
No, that was a blatant lie. What they told you was a blatant lie. and I condemn it in strongest terms. It was an attempted coup, and fortunately, it failed. It was an attempted coup. I want to emphasize that.
Tabo Talakwala is the spokesperson for Lesotho Prime Minister Thomas Thabane.
Blessing Zulu also reached Lesotho Defense Forces spokesman Ntele Ntoyi, who disputes that there was a coup attempt on the Prime Minister. He says the situation in the country is normal.
As we speak now, the situation has now calmed and it is business as usual in the capital Maseru and the rest of the country.
But there were reports that there was an attempted coup on Saturday. Can you tell us what transpired? Was there a coup?
No, there was no coup whatsoever. Only what happened during the early hours of Saturday, August the 30th, was that after receiving disturbing intelligence reports, the army command decided to launch an operation against some rogue police elements who had an arrangement to give arms to one of the militant youth groups in the country.
But were there any attempts to target the Prime Minister?
No, not any whatsoever.
We understand that President Zuma and his SADC allies are trying to intervene. Have you been in touch with them?
In actual fact, there has been a two-pronged approach to mediation efforts you may be talking about. Our commander, the military commander, also received his counterparts from namely South Africa, Namibia, and Zimbabwe. And they held talks, and it seems like everything is actually quieting down.
Lesotho Defense Forces spokesman Ntele Ntoyi speaking with Blessing Zulu of the VOA Zimbabwe service from Maseru.
Dewa Mavinga, a senior researcher with Human Rights Watch, says SADC did well in condemning the coup.
The challenges of potential instability arising from a reported military coup should be resolved within a constitutional framework of governance in Lesotho, which is encouraging because the Southern African Development Community has also taken a similar position of a strong condemnation of unconstitutional changes of government.
Do you think SADC is doing enough to address the real structural problems in Lesotho?
Well, certainly SADC could have done more. And this incident of the alleged military coup is an indication that SADC had left it until too late.
The senior researcher Dewa Mavinga with Human Rights Watch on the line from Johannesburg with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu.
Hearings for a single commercial radio license in Bulawayo started today, with two applicants fielding tough questions from the Broadcasting Authority of Zimbabwe and members of the public. Officials from Sky Z, Metro FM and Sky's FM pitched their proposals and explained their programming to a circumspect panel that had the sharpest eye for finer print. The line of questioning ranged from funding to shareholding to programming. Broadcasting legend Ezra Chisasebanda represented Sky's FM, while theatre guru Quantum Tlanga and Kubani Moyo appeared for Sky Z FM Metro. Another aspirant, Sky Z FM, owned by publisher Trevor Ngube, will present its case tomorrow. Ezra Sibanda shared his experiences today with reporter Ntunga Milinkomo.
We presented our project proposal. We showed why it is necessary to be given a radio license to broadcast from Bulawayo. And what happened is a lot of people were there. They were supportive of us. We presented that we are ready. We've got the studios, we've got the equipment, we've got the funds to start the broadcasting from this part of Zimbabwe, which has gone for years since independence. No radio station coming from the city of Kings. This is why a lot of people had lost their sense of belonging. Because never believed that it belongs to Zimbabwe because there's no program which caters for them. So why Sky FM, we came here, we want to deliver those programs so that these people in this part of Zimbabwe feel that they are also Zimbabweans.
From your performance, do you see yourselves getting a license? And if so, are you ready to hit the ground running?
We are ready. We told them from our performance, to be honest, there will be another reason besides our project proposal when they deny us a license. We delivered whatever they wanted, all questions they asked, we delivered them. We told them about the financials. We explained where our funding comes from. We explained and we showed them that we have taken the studios from the state-of-the-art studios of Italy. We showed them that we have the transmitters, we have the manpower, and we have the premises to start broadcasting like yesterday. So everything, whatever they wanted, we showed them. And the general public, which was there as well, they were welcoming us. No questions from the public. Everyone, it was a comment to say, please, 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 give these people. Because my team has got a total of 110 years of broadcasting experience. So we have got an advantage than other naive companies which are trying to come into play. So we believe that if you give them a license like today, we will start because we are ready.
A broadcasting legend and Sky's FM official Ezra Chisasibanda on the line with Ntungameli Nkomo in Bulawayo.
A constitutional application in which the Election Resource Center is seeking to test the constitutionality of Section 40C subsection 1G of the Electoral Act is set to be heard and determined by the Constitutional Court tomorrow morning. A statement from the ERC says this section remains unchanged even after the ascending of the Electoral Amendment Bill into law by President Robert Mugabe as notified in the Government Gazette of Friday, August 22nd. The bill was contested extensively both on the process of transmitting it through the legislature and the content in terms of responding to contentious issues in Zimbabwe's electoral processes. The Constitutional Court application was lodged after the ERC and three of its staff members were charged by the state for allegedly conducting voter education through distribution of voter materials without the prior approval from Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, ZEC. The ERC denies any wrongdoing as it argues that it acted lawfully as this is one of its objectives of providing electoral and democracy information.
Transparency International Zimbabwe chapter says it is happy that the process to choose new commissioners for the Zimbabwe Anti-Corruption Commission is at an advanced stage. But Transparency International Zimbabwe Director Mary Jane Ncube says the process should have been more consultative. She hopes the incoming commission will be independent, as is required by the constitution, for it to effectively do its job. Ncube tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri that they also hope that the potential commissioners are not tainted, as was the case with some in the previous commission.
We think the process will move the country forward in terms of the institutional framework of dealing with corruption. And we also understand from the press that the process is almost complete, but we still feel that it could have been a more consultative process, similar to what the judges did a couple of weeks ago, more open, more transparent, and more consultative, because we are all still aware, and I think it's fresh in our minds, what the misgivings were with some of the commissioners of the past who had allegations of corruption leveled against them, and also fears of political affiliation or alignment among some of the commissioners when the commission needs to have as much autonomy as possible for effectiveness.
That was a Transparency International Zimbabwe Director Mary Jane Ncube on the line in Harare with reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
A Listeners, tune in tomorrow on Studio 7. We will be interviewing former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai about his take on the fresh infighting in his party, the worsening economic crisis, Mr. Mugabe's trip to China, and the Lesotho coup.
There's nothing wrong in having bilateral relations with China, but there is everything wrong to try to raise people's hopes on a false assumption that China is going to rescue this country. There are so many imponderables regarding Chinese investment in this country. They actually live in Zimbabwe. Immediately after the election, $1 billion of Chinese revenue, U.S. dollars, was spirited out of the country. I recently read that there were projects signed. Those projects are not going to mature in a year or two or three. Those are long-term projects. And what we are looking is not long-term projects. We are looking for immediate infusion of U.S. dollars, foreign direct investment, whether Chinese, American, Indian, whatever. That is not forthcoming, and that is what we need.
That day is former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai, who is the leader of the MDCT. Tune in tomorrow on Studio 7, and we will give you more of that interview.
Malaria deaths are on the rise in Zimbabwe as gains made in eliminating the infectious disease continue to be eroded by a new drug-resistant strain and lack of funds to sustain disease monitoring and control efforts in the country, among other issues. Arthur Chigoriwa has more from Kadoma.
Officially opened the country's annual malaria conference here yesterday, Health and Child Care Minister Dr. David Parerenyatwa said gains made in 2012 in fighting the disease are being threatened mostly by the re-emergence of the malaria factor Anopheles fenestas in the border areas. The minister said drug resistance to anti-malaria drugs has also become a major hurdle in the government's effort to eradicate malaria in Zimbabwe as its fluctuations in rainfalls.
Cases per 1,000 in 2013. But it's even more worrying that to date we have recorded a cumulative of 481,000 malaria cases and 601 deaths from 1st of January to the end of August 2014. And this compares badly with 382,000 cases and 322 deaths, which are really half recorded the same period last year, demonstrating a further significant increase. So we need to address the re-emergence of Anopheles fenestas.
Future global warming could also lead to a significant increase in malaria cases in densely populated regions unless disease monitoring and control efforts are increased, according to researchers. The mosquito-borne disease that infects around 220 million people a year around the world killed so thousands in Zimbabwe. Dr. Parerenyatwa said most of the people who succumbed to malaria were from the rural areas where inaccessible roads and the lack of medicine remain a problem. National and Central Provincial Medical Director Dr. Bernard Chuma said most malaria deaths in the country were due to the poor road network in the rural communities, especially during the rain season, resulting in many failing to access hospitals or clinics.
The bridge was broken, yeah, with the floods and other things along the Segezi River. And the bridge from Chimoyo Primary School to the border, the northern border, along Birmingham Road, which is commonly known there as the Pinya Road. I think, you know, you heard the name. And I think, you know, the bridge was destroyed during, you know, the Liberation War in 1975, 76, I think so. Yeah, but up to now, during the rainy season, there's no transportation from Zarabani to the border.
Marshall and West PMD Dr. Andrew Kushwa said people living in the new resettlement areas are mostly at risk as the government has not yet built health facilities to serve the new farming communities. Most people, he said, walk more than 20 kilometers to get to the nearest clinic, resulting in unnecessary death.
Malaria is mistimed. It might coincide with some politicking and rallying and so on. So people might want to use this as political ways to fight.
Though figures were not really available, Dr. Chuma said Manicaland had the highest number of malaria deaths due to the Mozambicans crossing the border to seek medical attention in Mutare. He said despite limited resources, Zimbabwe is also saving the foreign nationals and saving lives. Figures are hard to establish for a disease that affects mainly poor communities in the rural areas of developing countries. Some researchers have argued that socio-economic improvement and more aggressive and effective mosquito control efforts would have a large enough positive effect on the spread and intensity of malaria to neutralize the potential threat of changing climates. Dr. Parenyatwa said his ministry will soon unveil its malaria business plan for 2015 to 2017, hoping to invite private companies and others to join in the fight against malaria. An estimated 20 million malaria cases and between 300,000 and 400,000 malaria deaths are recorded each year in the Southern African region. Reporting for Studio 7 in Kadoma, this is Arthur Achigoriwa.
Now we take a look at regional and international news.
Officials are trying to determine whether a U.S. drone strike in Somalia killed Ahmed Abdi Godhani, the leader of militant group Al-Shabaab.
The death toll from an Ebola outbreak on the Northern Democratic Republic of Congo has risen to 31.
And United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has called for political dialogue between Russia and Ukraine as a solution to the crisis in Ukraine.
Art decoration competition, which is being run by Amagugu International Heritage Center, has entered its second week with Zimbabweans calling for the preservation of this exceptional culture that is practiced nationwide. Cultural activists Stars Mateteve and Reverend Ray Motsi say Hamlet painting, normally conducted soon after crop harvest, is a symbol of Zimbabwean beauty and love. Mate speaks to Studio 7's Gibbs Dube about this issue, noting that this practice can be found in all parts of the country.
The house competition on painting, especially the traditional way, should be encouraged because it is very correct to protect and project exactly where you come from. We have new houses, new buildings in many forms. But we should also indicate where we come from. That's by building homes in the traditional way, painting them the traditional way. So the competitions are very correct because they encourage people to do the traditional homes continuously.
So now looking at places like Nkai, where you come from, we are told that there are actually some competitions going on right now. Tell us a bit about that.
Yes, such competitions are found in Nkai, especially the area where I come from. We had some last month, 2022, with some competitions. We are also having other competitions in 2020 this month. Around the 15 or 16, we'll be hosting a very, very big competition day where we are looking at the people who competed in painting their hats, making cupboards inside their hats, where they display their plates and cups. I'm, of course, reliably told that Ms. Patricia Nyati is encouraging people in Mat South as well to do the same competitions. That is very good.
That was cultural activist Stars Mateteve speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo.
The United Nations International Children's Emergency Fund, UNICEF, says Zimbabwe has seen huge improvements in its prenatal, newborn and maternal health care over the past 5 years. Figures released Friday show Zimbabwe's infant mortality declined by 20%, while maternal mortality has declined by 36% since 2009. Reporter Tatenda Gumbo spoke to Dr. Rutendo Bonde, the chairperson of the Zimbabwe Association of Doctors for Human Rights, on the issue.
These particular indicators do come as a welcome surprise to say that there is work which is being done in the background, but definitely under difficult conditions.
UNICEF itself has echoed similar sentiments as you are saying that this does indicate some changes, but there's still much to be done. Looking at the sector itself, what else is needed to be done to make sure that this progress are made, but not under these conditions?
There was a lot of talk about the investment case for health, and the investment case for health remains largely undercapitalized. And until we get that centrality of health financing sorted out, we'll still have areas of success, but the global picture will be a picture, you know, of people, of committed health professionals who are working really under difficult conditions to give the best outcome to patients, and that has an area of compromised quality of care, and for how long will the public health operate under a state of compromise?
Dr. Rutende Bonde is the chairperson of the Zimbabwe Association of Doctors for Human Rights. She spoke with Tatenda Gumbo.
A four-day reunion weekend for Southern Africans living in the United States ended with a business networking event in Silver Spring, Maryland yesterday, with human resources expert Mercy Choguguza advising participants to take the lead in promoting themselves and their businesses. Marvelous Mtlanganyahuye gives us more.
Addressing delegates at a networking and business forum meeting held at the end of a four-day reunion weekend that was organized by the Southern Africa Community USA SACU, human resources expert Mercy Choguguza told the Southern Africans America is the land of opportunities and they too can make it. But she said there was need for the Southern Africans to change the way they market themselves and learn to do things the international way. She stressed the importance of branding in allowing them to penetrate the international and U.S. corporate world. Choguguza told delegates from 15 Southern African countries that make up SACU not to be afraid of self-promoting.
First of all, need to know who you are. What is your brand? What does your brand say about you? And you need to also be able to be comfortable enough to brag about what you can do, what you're bringing to the table. The perception that is out there is that we as Africans, we only want to get something without offering anything in return, the quid pro quo aspect of it. The three or four W's that you need to have that need to strike out when you are branding yourself or you identifying yourself are, one, you've got to say, let people know who you are, what makes you stand out from everybody else, because as we know, the landscape is very wide and there's so many people that are looking for jobs. So what makes you stand apart from the next person?
SACU, a non-profit organization, was launched last year to bring together Southern Africans and their friends in annual social and business activities. This was SACU's first business networking event. It ran under the theme Building Community and Developing Essential Life Skills. Choguguza advised participants to change their mindsets. She said most Africans are not always comfortable to brag about their skills or businesses as required by today's corporate world.
It's okay for you to brag. You know, people wanted to be told that it's okay for you to brag because it's a new concept to us. Because back home, we're told to be humble. We're told to that you cannot self-promote. But the society that we're living in thrives on self-promotion. So for people to hear that self-promotion is okay was one of the biggest takeaways that a lot of people came back to me and said they were really, really happy to hear that it's okay for them to do that. So I'm sure we're going to be hearing a lot of self-promotion that's going to be going out there, and it's going to actually produce some good results.
One of the founding members of SACU, Mrs. Cassandra Sibandaguni, said her organization was pleased with the first business networking event. She said more activities are on the way to promote Southern Africans and their businesses in the United States.
We are hoping that all the people from Southern Africa will get a platform that we can network, we can learn just how to advance in this country, because we feel we don't get that much visibility.
Mrs. Choguguza said Southern Africans have the capacity to make it internationally and in the United States corporate world. All that is needed, she said, is reinforcement and encouragement to self-promote as is required in today's job and business market. Marvelous Mhlanganya Huye, Studio 7, Washington.
Now to recap today's top stories.
Malaria deaths are on the rise in Zimbabwe as gains made in eliminating the infectious disease continue to be eroded by a new drug-resistant strain.
That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Sandra Nyaira in Washington.
And I'm Chris Gande. Good night.